Welcome to worship at Spanish Fork United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here this morning on this Communion Sunday. Don't forget to please register your attendance with us using the binders at the ends of the pews. And we're going to bring back something that we haven't done since before the pandemic, which is a greeting time. So if you would please turn to your neighbor and say hello just for a moment as we visit each other. And now as we come back together, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Now let us stand together as we sing our opening hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Oh,
together as the body of Christ, let us affirm what it is we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At this time, as we prepare for our pastoral prayer, we also will incorporate our offertory prayer, and we invite our ushers to come forward to help us prepare for the offertory prayer. As we go into our pastoral prayer this morning, we note that there is a great need, and there's also great praise. It's a praise to look out and see all of your faces be here with us on this blessed Sunday morning, but we know that there is still great need in our congregation. There are many prayer requests, and we want to keep the Maxwell family in prayer, Miss Laura Maxwell and her family in prayer at the loss of her father, and we also want to keep our own pastor in prayer, Reverend Bill Price, as he has traveled to West Virginia to bury his brother, and we want to keep he and his family in prayer. We know that there are many prayer requests that we have on our hearts and our minds, so let us be able to come to God in prayer on this morning for our church community, for our world, and for all in the body of Christ. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humbly as we know how this morning. As there is great need and great grief, dear Lord, great pain and great distress, there is also great joy, great praise, and great God moments where we are reminded that you walk with us through the shadows of the valley of death, through the joys of new birth, and through the praise of new life, and through the sadness of broken heart. You never leave us, nor will you forsake us. We thank you that your love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we humbly come unto you this morning, dear Lord, with all on our hearts and our minds. As we pray with our grieving family members here in the church body, dear Lord, that your arms will engulf and embrace our families, dear Lord, that are in need and are grieving this morning, dear Lord. We pray your traveling grace and mercies with our pastor and all families that are traveling this morning, dear Lord, where they may not be here, dear Lord, but wherever they are, may your love find them there, and may our love and prayers meet them there as well, God. As we come before you this morning, dear Lord, we give you praise for another day to sing jubilant praise unto your name. And we come together boldly in the body of Christ to pray the way that you have taught us to pray in accordance to the Lord's Prayer as we offer this offering unto you by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Take this.
Amen. As we come this morning to our scripture this morning, we'll be coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. So as we go to the Word of God reads as follows this morning. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they sneak me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fist. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for living in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call out and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with the dwellings. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. What a word. I think that scripture does it. The sermon's been preached and we can go home, right? It is a powerful scripture and a blessed moment of passage, and I'm thankful to be able to walk us through God's word on this morning, and I'm thankful that I get to do it with you, the church family here at Spanish Fork United Methodist Church. As we went into these scriptures and as we studied them on this week, they have been constant reminders of all that is around us, and the reminder as we prepare to walk into this Lenten season, how holy and sacred this season is, but how cultural and contemporary we have made this season. Once upon a time, I always start with the story, right? So once upon a time, a large megachurch learned that their biggest Sundays happened when they introduced a challenge of some sort. The more challenges the church implemented, the more the attendance grew because of the excitement for the churches. So therefore, they presented the following challenges to members and visitors throughout their series for Easter: the Butterfly Jesus Challenge, the Ice Bucket Faith Challenge, the Casserole Challenge, I think I like that one, the Homeless Experience Challenge, the Wednesday Night Chili Cook-Off Challenge, Bring a Friend Baptism Challenge. These challenges grew the church by leaps and bounds, as you can imagine. But their Lenten challenge, the 40 Faces of Jesus, brought the most controversy. This challenge encouraged members and visitors to take a picture showing how they were practicing the act of spiritual discipline by showing that they were feeding the homeless. No bad intention in that. We all think that we're doing good deeds when we do that. But the challenge became more of a treasure hunt on social media than it did a mission for God. Images of homeless men, women, and children were exploited on social media sites and pages without their permission, and they incorporated the following hashtags behind their pictures of distress and hunger and poverty. Hashtag feeding the multiple, feeding the multitude. Hashtag live like Jesus. Hashtag homeless people. Hashtag WWJD, what would Jesus do? The megachurch operated out of a used theater in its town, so it would provide space for a weekly meal to share with the homeless. The pastor stated in an interview that he showed up one night and there were no homeless in sight for a meal. And he noticed that the little Methodist church across the street was open and busy. So he walked over and asked the pastor what event was taking place. And the pastor said, "The homeless community came to us and asked that we would open a food pantry that would not require them to take pictures with the privileged to eat." As we draw closer to our Lenten season, have we not noticed how Lent has become a public announcement of our spiritual practices? "And let he is without sin cast the first stone. I'll cast and tell you what I've done." Even I post on my social media around this time of year a message on my Facebook page, "An observance of the Lenten season. I will be fasting from Facebook for 40 days and 40 nights. I will not be posting. See you after Easter." There's no need to do that, but we become comfortable in doing that in our culture, in our society. And every year, I find myself signing in anonymously to keep up with the latest posts and information because I'm afraid I might forget something. And then I go back to praising Jesus and doing my fast. In our passage of scripture today, the Lord is exposing the shallow worship of the Israelites by using Isaiah to teach the meaning of authentic worship. As the Israelites are moaning and complaining in their spiritual discipline of fasting, they are not finding the joy in Christ. But they are boldly asking God, "Why have we fasted and have you not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" The challenge with spiritual discipline is that authentic spiritual discipline is a ragged process of inward introspection of our souls. Our worship of God is not a moment of self-glorification, but a deep spiritual journey that, keyword, transforms us. And it transforms the way we praise because we become closer to God. If we go into a spiritual discipline of whatever that may be, fasting and prayer, and we do that for 40 days and 40 nights, and we come out still being the same person, we did not fast or do the praying in the way that brought us closer to God. It's a transformative process. However, in our culture, in our society, we want to make spiritual discipline a cup of Starbucks coffee, a laptop, a nice blanket to wrap up in, and a pretty picture posted on social media with the hashtag, "Jesus is cool." And for those of us that don't know what hashtags are, they keep the community of the social media life and universe alive. It keeps them connected. But what Isaiah is teaching us is that the connectedness has to come with God. That's the only person whom we are dedicating our connectedness to in our spiritual disciplines and our spiritual practices. The Israelites were fasting and doing all the right things, but they missed the point of what worship was about. Isaiah observes their practices as sinful before God. He believes we cannot worship God in self-serving, hollow, fake ways and then allow injustice to continue in our own backyards, in our own lives, in our own world. A passage in a text like this, it leads us to ask, well, if that's the case, what is worship? Even in the innocence of the question, it is still incorrect to ask. Many people do not even ask about worship because it's something that we think we know, it's something that we think we do, so therefore it's something that we think we have the answer to. But many Christians in America equate worship with Sunday morning singing. And our voices make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes, they do. But Bonnie, Andy, the choir members that you see here in the congregation that we sing with, they are helping us usher in the presence of Christ. They do not worship for us. We do not worship on their behalf. They are worshiping with us. We are worshiping together. You've got to get the rest of it on your own. We've got to get the rest of it on our own. Because our relationship with Christ is a personal relationship, and no one else can get you that relationship except for yourself. Instead, we worship together. When we sing on Sunday morning, we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit to enter into the holiness of this space. We're calling on God's Holy Spirit to come in and sit with us. We're welcoming and inviting that presence in. We are inviting God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. But worship does not end or begin here in the pews where we sit. True worship is entering the church's doors and rejoicing because God has been so good to us, and then going out into the world and continuing to rejoice in how good God is. Isaiah defines true worship as, Isaiah 58, 3 through 7, to loosen the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, and cover the naked when you see them, and to not hide from your kin. We must be mindful of how we spend our spiritual disciplines with God, because the time we devote to God is sacred. It is holy, and it is not a task that we simply check off the box of weekly to-dos. The exciting aspect of this scripture are the conditional conjunctions that present themselves. The Israelites are fasting as part of their spiritual discipline to honor and worship God, but their hearts were not conditioned to give God praise and thanksgiving for where they are. Every moment in our life is a God moment. Our God moments are not just when we make it to the mountaintop and everything is good, but our God moments are also in the distress and trenches of our lives. Remind us of a sermon we did a couple of weeks ago, In the Pit. That's also when we are praising God. We don't just see God when the sky is blue. We worship, and we must worship and praise and honor God when we don't even see that there is even a sky in view. The Israelites were strangers in a foreign land, and they had been struggling for generations. But God had shown his sovereignty multiple times in their struggle and in their suffering. Yet, they falsely praised God by asking, "When will you notice us, answer our prayers, and give us freedom?" Isaiah reminds them to remember that if you give of yourself selfishly to serve God through acceptable and pleasing worship, it is in that moment that we get to the then and the when. So when we look at these statements, we notice that in passage these statements start with if, then, and when. Our passage of moving throughout the scripture that God has given us in this world is moving from if we selflessly give of ourselves, then Christ will show up. And that's when. We may not know that when, but we will always give God the glory as we're waiting in the when. We often pray to God in a conditional setting by starting with, "When will you do what you have to do for me, God? I'm praising you, but when will you do what I have been told that you're going to do in my life that you told me about?" And then we worship with empty ritual because we're so busy trying to wait on the, "When are you going to do it for me, God? I have fasted and I have praised," but we're not fasting and praising for a result. We're fasting and praising because the God we serve is just that good. Even if he does nothing at all, he's still a mighty good God. That's why we're praising. But when we begin to worship with empty ritual, our worship becomes glorified on self. But in our spiritual disciplines of worship, we want to elevate to the if and then with God. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. In Isaiah 58, 8 through 11, the scripture tells us, "If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. Then you shall call out and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say, 'Here I am.'" Our spiritual disciplines are oftentimes laced with unseasoned worship and sacrifice before the Lord. We must worship God with hunger. We must be hungry to worship God. Our lack of proper spiritual nourishment causes us to be spiritually cranky. Has anyone ever been spiritually cranky? Has anyone ever come to church and been like, "I do not want to be here, but hallelujah"? It happens. Have you ever been in church and we do the welcome and greeting and you got that person that's sitting there like this, they will not move? That spiritual crankiness. And a Snickers bar can't do nothing about that kind of hunger. Have you ever come to church spiritually hangry? Hungry for something, but you don't know what it is that you're hungry for. And have you ever come to church spiritually thirsty, where you're feeling dry and parched, and you've barely made it, but your praise sounds a little something like this? Hallelujah. Spiritually thirsty. can't get our words out, can't get our praise out. There are real things that happen in life. We don't always come into church in such joyful moods and joyful moments. Some of us are barely making it. Some of us are sitting here and we're really sitting in the pew, but we're really not here. We're really hurting. We're really trying to make it through. And that's a real moment in life. And some of us can be spiritually moody. But that's because our Holy Spirit tells us that in these moments that we're feeling spiritually hangry, spiritually moody, spiritually thirsty, spiritually cranky, that this is the time that we need our spiritual nourishment and restoration. This is the time where we come to lay it at the altar so that when we walk out of these walls, we walk into the world with new praise and new restoration in Christ every single week. We cannot give God honor with an empty ritual. Because let's examine God's response to empty ritual. Amos tells us that Christ will say, "I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not have regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream." What we give to God is holy, and we want to give it with that same holiness that he gives to us. We want to give that time. We want to give that energy. We want to give that love. We want to give that space to welcome God in. Sometimes God can't get in because our spiritual living room's got way too much stuff in it and way too many people in it, and there is nowhere for God to sit. Sometimes we feel empty because we just haven't opened the door, and God is right there knocking at the door, but we don't have the energy to get up and simply open the door. And sometimes we can't get a praise out because we've got too much and too many voices infiltrated into our minds, to where we don't know who to listen to and we become confused. Why is my worship so important to God? What we offer to God can never be enough in terms of worship, but Isaiah, and if we look in Matthew, we will in a second, they are calling us to rise up and not hold back the goodness of God. We are called to be the salt of the earth, meaning that we are agents of human nourishing. Salt does not lose its flavor, but it can lose its effectiveness. And if we are the salt of the earth, and if we are the human nourishment that goes out to season the world, then we need to be stronger in our spiritual discipline so that we do not lose our effectiveness. This is a lifestyle that we live daily, not momentarily. Do we still have the flavor of Christ to go out and season the unsalted places in the world? Isaiah had to remind the people why God wasn't answering their prayers. It is because their worship was not flavorful and they were using too many substitutes. God wants authentic worship. And Matthew challenges us to remember who we are. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Today, we take on a spiritual discipline that we all partake in. It's the desire and the hunger to commune with God over the great Thanksgiving. And in our moment at the table of God's grace, we are demonstrating our longing for a closer relationship with Christ through consuming the bread of life and the cup of salvation. And if you are struggling to find spiritual discipline and practices in your life, we as your church family, we are here to pray with you. Prayer is a form of worship as well. There are many forms of worship. And when we think of God this week, we should think on his goodness and how we've grown in our faith. We should think of God with thanksgiving, as Hebrews 13 reminds us. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Sometimes all we can usher up is a hallelujah and an amen and a thank you, Jesus. And trust and believe God is pleased with that. Let us not give up worshiping God truly for the good God that he is. Let us come together to pray as worship to our Lord together this morning. Loving Father, there are times when it feels like we never get it right. We compare ourselves to others and we don't measure up. It seems like we can never get our act together and live up to the standard of your perfection. But in this time, we come to ask your forgiveness. Allow us to rest and restore in your grace and your mercy. Please show us your immense love as we silently confess our sins to you and continue to do so as we go into the great Thanksgiving and communing at the holy table of Christ with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we move forward this morning into our Holy Communion, this is our time to come together, to be invited to experience Christ together here at the table of Christ as we come together as brothers and sisters. And this is our spiritual discipline that we do as family in the body of Christ. Our invitation reminds us that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another by saying our confession and pardon together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Church, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As we move over into the great Thanksgiving in our ritual this morning, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take. Eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you think of me, and do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we will invite our communion ushers to come forward, and they will direct you as we come to the table of Christ to join together. To depart from this table, we give God thanks for the moment and opportunity to break bread with one body and one church. May we go from this place giving God the glory now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. As you arise, live a life that seeks out that truth. Go in peace. Amen.
May we rejoice in the blessed salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we leave this table, may we continue to shine our light into the world for our Lord.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. As you arise, go in the confidence that you have a home in heaven. Go in peace.
reminds us that he will never leave nor forsake us. May we arise in the peace of our Heavenly Father's promise to always be with us.
Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." As you arise, embrace Jesus with the simple faith of a child. Go in peace. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn together. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Oh, my soul, praise. I would like to call your attention to just a few announcements. You can find all the announcements either in the bulletin or on the church website, and I encourage you to go and look at those. There will be a missions spaghetti supper coming up on Ash Wednesday, February 22nd at 5 p.m. The proceeds will be used for our mission trips. The Primetimers, they have a Friday night outing coming up on March the 17th. They're going to watch the movie Where the Crawdads Sing. I've never heard a crawdad sing. I may have to come watch that. Another one I want to call to your attention is our grief share will begin on March the 1st on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Also, we're still looking for some facilitators for that. If you're interested, please contact Pastor Kitsy about that. It's been a good day of worship. We've heard how we can be purveyors of true worship. I'll have to say, Pastor Kitsy, with the assistance of the prophet Isaiah, really put the hay down where the goats could get it today. So let's get after that hay. As we depart this place, receive now this benediction. Almighty God, who lives and reigns forever, we give you thanks for all the gifts you have bestowed upon us, including the gift of true worship, and especially, Father, the gift of each other. As you go, go in the never-ending love and mercy of God the Father, the grace and peace of Jesus Christ the Son, and the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and forever, world without end. Amen.